I'm Councillor Graham Campbell, and I'm here with my fellow co-convener of SNP Socialists, Janice Wilson. Say hi.
Hi.
And it's been a really quiet political week, so we just didn't know what we were going to talk about in this next 10 to 15 minutes. What do you think we should talk about, Janice?
The weather?
I think that's been done. So why don't we talk about the week's events in the end of the Bute House Agreement,
okay,
and the departure of our dearly beloved party leader, Hamza Yousaf.
Okay.
Our first Scottish Asian First Minister, yep, and the youngest First Minister, brilliantly principled guy, lovely fella. But unfortunately, he from our viewpoint, made a big error by ending the BHA unilaterally.
Certainly, yeah. Without consulting anyone, I think that was the biggest mistake, because had he consulted, it may not have ended, mm-hmm, or it most likely wouldn't have ended, and he would still be First Minister.
Do you think he should have asked the members?
Yes.
You know, the members voted for the agreement by, mm-hmm, 94%.
Yeah, no, definitely. And at the very least, he should have consulted the cabinet.
And the word on the street is that he may not have done that.
He may not have done that, but we don't know.
Obviously, this is the thing. I've heard that the cabinet ratified the decision.
Okay.
And that, you know, so at least there was no dissension from the decision. So that slightly worries, okay, me, that nobody said, well, hang on a minute, because I know, because I had council group meetings the week before, we discussed the possible scenarios for, you know, well, the Greens are going to have this vote in a few weeks' time. Shouldn't we ourselves have a vote at the same time as their vote, to ask our members in the way that they're consulting theirs?
It would have been the sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I just think it would have been better if the Greens did vote to walk, it would be better if they left rather than us kicking them out. I think it was a grave error. I think it also undermined Patrick and Lorna as their leaders, because obviously they were in favour of staying.
Yeah.
And obviously undermined them in front of their members and the argument we could have helped them to make to stay,
yeah,
in it.
Yeah. The mistake was to just announce it. And I think the Greens made a mistake as well by saying that they would vote with the Tories for the vote of no confidence. Whether they would have, is the vote going ahead on Thursday?
I think it will do.
It will do.
The Tories have got two votes, a vote of no confidence and a vote of no confidence in the government.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the Greens have now said that they won't vote for the vote of no confidence now because Hamza's going.
Hamza's going.
So that solves that problem. But it leaves the next problem. I think Hamza could have, without doing this, he could have negotiated a lower level of agreement. I mean, obviously, the next stage would be a confidence supply where the Greens influence the government from the outside, but, yep, agree that they will vote for the budget and from the outside of the government. That would have been the next best solution, and it could have been negotiated. And,
yeah,
I don't understand why he didn't offer that deal privately without sacking them. So it's pretty clear from what we've found out that he was advised,
yeah,
to do that. That he was advised that he would look strong as a leader doing so. And unfortunately, he looked the opposite, and the opposite has happened.
I have seen people applauding him for what he did. But by far, people think it was a reckless act that could have been avoided.
And to make it clear from a sort of SNP Socialist perspective, for those who don't know us, we're a left think tank in the party. We've been, yeah, trying to push party policy to the left, and particularly we are strong on the environmental policies. Yeah. Many of our members are climate and environmental officers in branches. That group of people is very, very solidly pushing further on this, yeah, question of just transition and meeting our carbon reduction targets. SNP members feel strongly about those, as,
yes,
Green members
do.
And so there isn't the sense that the Greens are pushing us where we don't want to go. We think the Greens have been a good influence, pushing the government further to the left, which is a good thing. And I think also pushing the independence project to the left, which is really important in terms of the nature of what we're offering to people,
yeah,
if we're asking to vote for independence. What do you reckon?
About the Greens' influence. Mm. I mean, I fully supported the Bute House Agreement. I think the Greens were absolutely right to push the SNP towards more environmental issues. Out with the Bute House Agreement, I don't know if the Greens will have that influence in the future, because we don't know who's going to be First Minister. Hopefully, an agreement can be reached whereby there is give and take, and the agreement can continue, and we can continue along the left-wing principles route that we want the party to take.
Obviously, that's in danger. I think we've put our statement in the last, we made two statements over the weekend, hoping to influence things. And I think if one thing is probably did achieve it, it certainly stopped any notion of making a concession to the Halibut party. And to Miss Regan and her voter empowerment mechanisms, which we call elections, which she's failed singularly to win any of under her own banner.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least that Hamza was very clear that he wasn't prepared to concede to them in order to stay in office personally. And that showed the measure of the man and the principle of the man. So, you know, I'm very glad that come across so strongly and that his dignity in stepping down, he decided not to put himself first, he put the cause first. But the cause has clearly been set back. And I think that's one of the things we're going to have to try and recover is that Greens and SNP members and indeed non-aligned pro-independence activists are working really well together in the Believe in Scotland.
Yeah.
You just had a really brilliant demo just before this decision was made, which has kind of undermined all that progress we've made.
No, I couldn't make the demo on Saturday, but it looked fantastic. And I was at the last one in Edinburgh, which was just inspirational. I am of the belief, though, that people who support independence will still support independence. I think this is a hiccup that can be overcome. And I'm confident that we can overcome it.
What would you say about, I mean, just in terms of Hamza, we're not trying to stick, but, you know, we're all sorry that he's had to resign, but we think it's a mistake he made.
Which caused his
downfall. And he was wrongly advised. I understand that Kevin Pringle wrote an article about a year ago in The National, which pretty much described the scenario which has just happened. So it's got his fingerprints all over it. Yeah. Now, he's a nice man. I like him. But he gave them wrong advice to Hamza, and Hamza shouldn't have followed it. Mm-hmm. You know, which basically said, oh, sack the Greens and you'll have more of a say of, you know, the SNP's ownership of its policies and go in your own direction. But the direction was set because we had a majority support for the centre-left direction the government was going. We had a majority in Parliament. We had a majority in the independence movement that we were, regrowing and revitalising.
The thing for me is that independence will only be achieved if parties work collegiately. Well, the Greens and the SNP and socialists, not perhaps necessarily ALBA. But I think that sends a good signal to say that, you know, we are willing to work with other people for the cause of independence, and it's not going to be dominated by the SNP, which perhaps it was in 2014, I don't know. But I think that's always a good thing to, you know, offer the olive branch out to other parties to say, you know, come on, have your say. We value your opinion as much as we value the next.
And I think to allude to Hamza's record in office is that his strong stance on the question of Gaza and Palestine has been internationally recognised as a point of absolute moral clarity and standing. And obviously, his own family was involved, you know, in that disaster, an international calamity, genocide that's going on in Gaza. And we're both wearing our kafirs, and it's definitely time for SNP Friends of Palestine to be revitalised.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as a member of the SNP Friends of Palestine, I think it's something that we need to get happening, get it back up and running again soon. As you know, I've been to Palestine, I was there in 2016, and it's something that's very important. And I think the leader of the party, it should be something that's very important to them too.
And I hope it will be a factor as well in the election, because I think pretty clearly many people who were thinking of voting Labour in the last election seen how they stood on Palestine and where Starmer stands, basically with the war criminals and the genocidalists, a lot of their supporters are having second thoughts. And I hope they can see that the clear stance that Hamza and the party have had will make it clear that the SNP is with the majority of public opinion on this one. So I hope that registers as well. The final thing I suppose I think I wouldn't mind us sort of having a chat about really is who should be the new leader?
Who I think should, or who I want to be the new leader and who I think should be the new leader, I think are different. And I think it's time for someone who can unite the party. And I hate myself for saying that, because I want someone left-wing, I want someone radical to lead the party, I want someone like Hamza to lead the party. But I think with this threat from the more kind of centrist stroke right wing of the party, practically, putting my head on and not my heart. It's got to be somebody that can unite the party for the next 2 years.
And who is that and who is it not?
John Swinney. It has to be, for me, it's John Swinney. Kate Forbes, I think, would be like throwing a bomb into a room and then leaving. I don't think she would unite it. I think she would fracture it even more with her extremist views. John Swinney, who is someone who has points of view, who has opinions, but he puts his politics first. And I think it has to be someone who can do that for the next 2 years.
I would probably go with John as the interim for myself. Yeah. But I, you know, for me, it's about the left-wing policy direction of the government and having that being clear.
Yeah.
You know, and I know John is a decent fella,
yeah.
But, you know, he's not a socialist, but he's a moderate left-wing social democrat. Would the direction that we've been talking about, which has been so successful, uniting SNP, lefts and Greens in a clear pro-independence project that we've tackled poverty and tackled the environment, is that going to be maintained, or will we just still have this underbubbling civil war between the centrists and the other people who are in the mainstream of the SNP?
That very much depends on who the next leader is. I think John can unite it. I think under John, I don't think it'll be radical, but it'll be stable, perhaps. I think he can appease the Ewings and the Forbeses for the next 2 years until we have a chance to influence more, perhaps.
There's also a sense, wouldn't you say, that the government's competence, and, you know, that level of, you know, some of the issues that people obviously worry about, the primary issues people raise with us, the cost of living, the health service and so on. Independence is, of course, that's a thread that runs through all of those issues, but it's pretty clear that those primary social and economic policies in which the government is seen to be not as successful as it once was, it's more successful than any other government in the UK, but clearly it's, you know, we still have a problem in the NHS some of the public services. So having a government that really tackles some of those issues head on, being run by somebody who knows what they're doing, is obviously a big factor in why people would support John.
Yeah.
But from my point of view, I would like to see somebody socialist and left-wing, and clearly left-wing, at least put their head above the parapet to say, look, I might not win this now, but I'm standing because I want the direction of the party and therefore of the government and of the independence movement to be thus. I would love it if somebody like, I don't know, more left-wing like Neil Gray or even Jenny Gilruth or somebody clearly younger generation like Murray McCallum. I would love to see some of those people consider putting themselves forward just to give ourselves a choice. But I also don't want a long contest because we want this over quickly.
Yeah.
So
I don't think they'll stand against John Swinney. They may not. I don't know. It would be good if they would. Like you say, to give choice. But I think if John stands, he'll win.
Yes, I think he will.
Yeah.
What if he doesn't?
And who, heaven forbid, Kate Forbes wins? Then we've got a tough 2 years ahead to try and steer the party in the direction that we know is its natural direction. But it's been kind of dragged off that path, I feel, recently.
Well, she's the Tory paper's choice for the leader. She's the Tory,
and that says it all.
That's all you need to know.
I do love a challenge, but I think that's a challenge that is going to be tough if she does get into the top spot, because a lot of people support her.
And I think that there is a sense that, you know, there was a sort of, what to call it, a kind of stagnation of the government.
Yeah.
And I have to say she was part of that stagnation because she was the finance secretary during it. So, you know, she bears some responsibility for some of the things that haven't gone so well in the government, like the health service, like other things, you know, the lack of, you know, the during of the A9 or all these other issues that have come up which haven't been funded, you know. Well, she was finance secretary when that was going on. So she has some of the responsibility. So the public have rightly got some concerns about us, but obviously you can't get away from the fact that austerity and the fact that the UK government still controls our purse strings and we're not independent is determining what's happening at our government budget level and what's happening with councils. We can't get away from that. Until we've got those full powers of independence, we cannot make those progressive choices that we know the society and we all want to make.
Yeah. I agree.
Oh, Dan, why did you agree with me all the time? It's terrible.
Well, no, I disagree. I think we should go down the Kate Forbes Tory route. Toronomics, is that what they were calling it during the last election campaign? No, I think I agree. We do need independence. That's the end goal. But I think we need to stabilise the government in the meantime and try and push for more progressive people to perhaps stand in 2 years' time.
With that, this podcast is over.
Excellent, that's good.